see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers now playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
How's everyone doing? You guys sound unsure.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends. I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
So, Claire, I just got back from LA and have been catching up on all of my very important Bachelor news. And while I was gone, you got to sit down and have a brief face-to-face with Nick. How was it?
Yeah, it was awesome. Basically, he was in town doing press for episode 6 of The Bachelor, as one does. And he was on AOL's Build series with one of our coworkers, Lee. And I just got to steal a little time with him at the end. I just like stole him for a sec. And we sat down on a couch.
Can I talk to you for a sec?
Yeah, I was like, hey, can I talk to you for a sec? And the bodyguards were rushing at me, but I managed to elude them. And we sat down on the couch for a few minutes in the green room and just talked about how this experience was for him.
And did you tell him like you might be falling in love with him? Did you say this green room is the perfect place to fall in love?
I missed so many opportunities for in-jokes that he would have really appreciated, I think, because he's never heard them before.
Nick is just too jaded to the Bachelor world now.
I know. And he had a great poker face. I kept trying to probe him for, even though I don't want spoilers, I kept trying to probe him on the outcome. And he gave me nothing. He just gave me that blank stare that he does.
I mean, I feel like he has the literal worst poker face of any Bachelor we've ever seen. I can tell exactly how disinterested in a woman he is immediately.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the face he was giving me, just completely disengaged.
You are Whitney.
Right. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think it's possible that he just really wasn't vibing with me at all. But, you know, it worked because I still don't know what happened at the end of this season, which is exactly what I wanted. And he did talk to me a little bit about Corinne and why he's been defending her since the show. And just generally what it was like to go from being a contestant so many times to being in the power position.
He is really the most experienced Bachelor alum of all time now.
He's the most qualified Bachelor we've ever seen.
I think he can definitely parlay this into being a Bachelor alum for the rest of his life, as God intended.
Just a permanent Instagram presence. I mean,
shirtless selfies and sponsored Instagram post for years to come. I am so looking forward to it.
Me too.
Nick, don't worry.
I just want to know.
We still love you.
I just want to know which woman is going to be with him
on those journey,
Instagrams,
if you will.
On the Instagram journey. Who's going to be eating those sugar bear hairs with him?
Well, maybe some of our listeners will be able to discern a little hint that we didn't pick up from this delightful interview. I had a great time listening to it. I was super sad to miss time with Nick, but I'm excited that all of our listeners get to hear it now. And fingers crossed, Nick will be back in New York at the end of the season, and maybe we can, you know, steal him for a sec again.
Yeah, just like we can just reinterrupt for a sec.
Love a good reinterruption. Okay, without further ado, here's the interview.
All right. Are we live?
Yeah, we're rolling.
I'm sitting here with Nick Vile backstage at AOL Build, and we're just going to ask him a few questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Nick just had a Starburst, but I think he's fully prepared to talk now.
Pink.
Oh, that's the best Starburst flavor.
Quite nice.
Yeah. Okay, so after all the time that you've been with the franchise, what surprised you most about actually being the lead?
You know, my friend, I'm good friends with Chris and Ben, and I've had stressful moments, you know, being on the other end of things, but they kind of always said to me going in, it's like, man, there is nothing like it. It is so hard. It is so taxing, and it's physically and emotionally just challenging. And so I certainly prepared myself for that. And it's certainly, most things in life don't live up to their hype, but that did. And you always have to be on, right? And there's a lot of great things about being the bachelor, but it is challenging to know that every decision you make is going to affect everyone. And when you can only make one person happy while disappointing many. And it can just get to you and be draining. So it feels like a very impossible thing while you're doing it.
Yeah. Were there any good surprises or mostly just the stress and anxiety?
Well, I mean, there was always a lot of great surprises. And I think when you're the bachelor or even on the other end, I think the surprises come in those moments where you feel like you're making a connection with someone. Because as difficult as it is, you're always fearful of it not working out. And so anytime you have a great moment, I think those for me were like things I really hold on to. And, you know, you see those a lot in the one-on-one. There's obviously moments with my first one-on-one with Vanessa. You saw that, I think, with Raven. With Rachel, certainly there were a lot of those great moments. And those were the moments I really held on to be like, all right, as stressful as this can be, this is why I'm here. And so I think for me, those were that was it.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you real quick about Corinne, because everyone wants to know. And you've stood up for her a little bit over the time that she's been getting some flack. Nick is a great podcast guest because he likes to ask questions too. I'm not a big fan of Corinne. I don't think she'd be friends, but I do think she's a sort of classic Bachelor villain in the sense that she's not really hurting anyone. She's not really doing anything bad. She's just not everyone's cup of tea. And she says some things that maybe aren't the nicest, but in the end, it's not like she's a bad person.
Well, no one. Yeah. I mean, I think the villain for the most part is probably a pretty inappropriately used word in that world in terms of no crimes are ever really committed other than maybe Chad, who actually threatened people. I would argue that Corinne maybe is a bit non-traditional because, and I think you're seeing that. Well, certainly she can still maybe rub some people the wrong way, is that she isn't, she has a lot of friends in the house. And you don't see all the women complaining about her. You see less and less now. You know, I think at this point, like with, say, Olivia and Ben's season, it was pretty evident that it was kind of the house versus Olivia. And that's just not the case with Corinne. She's a big personality and she can rub people the wrong way, but it's not that I'm defending every action of Corinne. I just think sometimes in that world, people can lose a little perspective and freak out over the smallest of things. And while she may not be some people's cup of tea, I mean, like, also she's never really done anything wrong. And at the same time, you know, as we've talked about before, like, they're just limited with time, and there's a lot of things they can't show, and they're always probably going to show the most compelling and interesting things. And she can be very compelling and interesting when her biggest parts of her personality come out. But she certainly has a softer side, and she can be a very sweet person. And while, you know, she definitely plays up the kind of like maybe ditzy or whatever, she's no dummy, right? And you even saw that with Taylor a little bit in terms of not being intimidated. And I will say this, when you see Corinne come in Wisconsin and feel the kind of the wrath of her peers and sit down very calmly and address the group, well, you may not agree with everything she said. Imagine being in an environment where you're cut off from family and friends and your entire world, and you're stuck in this environment where you're going for something and then feel like everyone around you is against you. Whether you deserve it or not, that is a very difficult situation to be in. And to kind of face it head on, it takes a special quality. It takes a level of intelligence and a level of determination. And say what you want, she did that, right? And it's very hard to do in that environment.
I guess I would take issue more with the idea that she addressed it calmly because I don't think that those conversations were ever very calm. I think she would get a little confrontational and say, bring your issues to me. And then when they did, she would say, why are you criticizing me? How dare you?
Sometimes. With the Christina conversation, I think specifically she, you know, she's not perfect. No one is. But again, like back to like in that moment, she, whether it was true or not, she felt like everyone was against her. And then, and when you have no support system at all, or you feel that way, it can feel like an impossible thing. And so any level of even the attempt of trying to talk, and again, I'm not defending every action of Corinne's, but I think sometimes it's easy to criticize certain things, but I think it's important to recognize some of the positive things.
So do you think maybe you have a soft spot for the girl who is a little bit on the fringes because of where you've been on the show in the past?
In some respect, it wasn't like just because she got herself in some trouble that immediate. But I think you know me well enough at this point that I like to see things in gray, and there's always another side to a story. And I think sometimes people can exaggerate in that world. And so I didn't get caught up in it. You know, I use it as an opportunity to get to know the women. You know, while I didn't agree necessarily with everything Vanessa said at the time, like when she called me out for the Bouncy Castle thing, that was a moment where I think I get a lot more respect for Vanessa and the way she was able to confront me in a way that was productive. It also showed me that she's the type of woman who will speak her mind. And so that a lot of good things came from that. And so, again, being the Bachelor, you have to use all your resources. And sometimes it's finding out how people react to not getting their way. You can tell a lot. And Corinne kind of help facilitate that, I guess, sometimes.
It's very useful. Have you, maybe this is a spoiler, have you ever tried Raquel's cheesy pasta?
I think it's safe to say that I have not.
Okay, yeah. That's fair.
That doesn't really say anything.
No. Other than I haven't. If you said that. Yes, it would mean that you had met Raquel.
I'm not lying.
No means nothing. Okay, that's fair. That was a trap. Yeah. Good job. All right. How challenging was it for you to switch? You know, in the past, you've been able to just really focus on one relationship on the show. And as The Bachelor, you're juggling so many women. Mm-hmm. How difficult was that for you? Is it hard for you to compartmentalize that?
Yeah. It's just not a normal thing, right? Feels very impossible at times. I mean, again, it's hard enough to go from, say, a really compelling one-on-one where you feel like you make a connection and then go to bed and then press the reset button because you're either going on a group date or maybe a different one-on-one or a two-on-one. But to try to do that in the midst of like a cocktail party or a group date where early on, you know, on that first group date where there was 12 women, now you didn't see them all, but I had 17 conversations that night. You know, it wasn't just Corinne who I talked to multiple times. There were a couple others. And like you're literally going from one conversation to another. And while it's my 17th, for some of those women, it was their first, right? And so you always have to be on. You have to be respectful. You have to try to forget about that last conversation and then give that new conversation your full attention. Not only for them, but you want to make sure you don't miss anything. You don't want to make sure that your lack of connecting with someone had only to do with the fact that you were just exhausted. And so you want to try not to miss out.
So you're saying that as an introvert, being the Bachelorette would be a bad way for me to find love?
It also could be a great experience for you, and you never know. I think there is no denying that being the Bachelorette or Bachelor it is a very powerful world, and you might find yourself to be far more extroverted as the Bachelorette only by necessity. You might not even realize what you're capable of. So who knows? I can't say whether anyone would be good or bad at being the Bachelorette, but it's difficult.
That is a very diplomatic response. Fortunately, I think I'm not at risk of ever being the Bachelorette. So I just have one more question for you to just sum it all up. Ultimately, you know, you've been friends with some past Bachelors who've had a more traditional arc mm-hmm. in the franchise. Ultimately, do you think that you having so much experience on the show helped you be the Bachelor, or do you think that it might even be easier for a Bachelor to come in with more of a clean slate and less baggage.
I don't like to call it baggage.
I just threw that in to annoy you.
Thank you. It worked. I think while filming it, it probably helped me. Because if nothing else, I didn't really worry about anything else other than the women and the relationships. And I was comfortable enough with that world to let all those other distractions not get in the way. It makes it harder watching it back because of there's so many opinions and there's so many like, or just added pressure that goes into it. Like constantly the past seasons are referenced, which I get it. It's a almost a necessary evil, but that can be a little draining personally. But I think as a filming it, it probably helped prepare me to make sure that the experience was as authentic as possible.
Do you think there are any women who at this point on the show need to have a one-on-one conversation with you in order to learn that you've been on The Bachelorette in the past? Do you think any of them really need to be filled in on that at this point?
Probably not.
Okay, so we're probably done with that part of the season.
Who knows? Those conversations have a way of popping up. Because again, like also, as a viewer, there are some things that I know that feel redundant. They feel redundant to me. But again, it might be, I've already talked about it with one person. I haven't talked about it with someone else. And, you know, it's like dating in the real world. You know, oftentimes your first date, you have a lot of the same conversations with people. And like, you're kind of annoyed with it. But that other person wants to get some of those key takeaways of like your background, your dating life, your family, et cetera, et cetera. And you see a lot of that on The Bachelor. And so assuming I don't walk out on this season, there would be a hometown. And a lot of those conversations about like my past and things like that ultimately come up there too. So what gets aired, I don't know. Again, if that were to happen. But I get it, but it's just kind of a necessary evil.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think we can all attest that you get into a relationship with someone you think has great first date stories, and then it turns out those are their only four stories.
Yeah.
And then you're stuck with it forever. So thank you so much for taking the time to
Thanks
sit down with me. This was really fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Cool. All right. I'm just going to cut it there.
And that's it for this bonus episode of Here to Make Friends. Thanks so much to our guest, Nick Vile, for talking to me, and to our producer, Nick Offenberg. And also, while you're waiting for next week's episode, please remember to find Here to Make Friends on iTunes to subscribe and give us a rating. We're also on Facebook, and you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emily Rose. You can also, of course, send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffingtonpost.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week for episode 7 of The Bachelor.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.